It is Locked On Jazz for the 9th of August. Back with you in our regular confines and podcasting. What did the Jazz do in the offseason? I'm the last person to give you an opinion on it, but maybe it's the final opinion. We'll break it down. Mike Conley, Rudy Gay, Hassan Whiteside, and Eric Pascal. All. What does it mean for the Jazz? What did we learn? And where do they stand? It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Bum 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 bum. Pow!
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. We're available on all podcast platforms as well as YouTube, and we're free. The YouTube channel is Locked On Live still. I apologize. We'll get it to be Locked On Jazz here shortly. There is a chat room that goes on during YouTube, so one interesting aspect of watching the program on that. Let's dig in. Mike Conley, Derek Favors trade, Rudy Gay, Hassan Whiteside, and Eric Pascal. Let's talk about it and where the Jazz stand right now. First off, let's go with Mike Conley. It's a big deal. Let's not underestimate this. There was a market out there for him. I was honestly a little nervous as all the signs were good and all the indicators were good because it was good news and the insiders knew and the people working the organization who were communicating with Mike knew that there was good news. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was a bit nervous. You had Dallas with money. You had New York with money. You had Miami with money. You had New Orleans with money. You had Chicago with money. We broke it all down earlier. We talked about the five. So Chicago goes Lonzo Ball. And Miami goes Kyle Lowry. That still left New York. That still left Dallas. And that still left New Orleans, all with money, all interesting markets, all big markets where Mike hadn't played in a big market before, all with semi-championship aspects, all with something appealing, Luka, Zion, New York. And there certainly were reasons why also that wasn't, they weren't great fits. But what we really saw was that Mike had built a bond with the players and with the coaching staff. And so therefore this didn't seem to be a long conversation or a big search by Mike. The Jazz didn't have to pay him $30 million a year. The number seems to be in the 20s, which is pretty good. And they didn't seem to have to like shoot through the moon, and which is great because there wasn't another option. This wasn't really a Mike Conley or Kemba Walker, like it was for New York, as they then put Kemba Walker into their cap space. This was Mike Conley or nothing. Mike Conley gives us stability. He allows us to continue moving forward as an elite team. You know, like I've heard some questions, are we still good? We still have Rudy. We're still great. Like, it's not a surprise, by the way, that Rudy Gobert was like a top five player in the Olympics and his team finished second. Like, he just automatically makes you elite. Couple that with Donovan and Mike, and we're going to be good. We're going to be really good again. That's what signing Mike Conley did for the Jazz, was made sure that we were going to be very, very good again. And, you know, that's great. And I was concerned. The hamstring problem, was he frustrated with the fact that he hasn't been able to get right and healthy and somehow decides he wants to go somewhere else? You know, clearly not. Great. Like, these were things we didn't know. And I think the concern was escalated a little bit by not being around the team last year. By not, you know, we just didn't get a chance to see the interactions with the group, that camaraderie that they had, that's clear. His Wolf of Wall Street Instagram post is so great because it wasn't really about him. Right? It was about all of them. And I think that came through. That's who Mike is. You know, His wife, I thought, was an interesting play here because it's a family decision. She seems to love Utah. She is an influencer. She does a great job with it. And frankly, she does a remarkable job of branding as the regular woman while her husband's making $30 million a year. It's really quite an art. But did she want Dallas or New York or a different marketplace? And so all of those things came together. I just think, you know, let's not just kind of walk through Mike Conley re-signing with Utah Jazz as, oh, well, that was like, that's a big deal. Mike never chose to play here beforehand. We traded for him. Mike Conley choosing to play. So one of the top five marquee free agents with other options decided to stay and play in Utah. To me, that's a massively important moment for Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith's franchise, for what Quinn Snyder and Justin Zanuck are building, for where the Jazz are. I just, quite frankly, I thought there were options. I thought there could have been frustration. I thought there could have been a desire to go somewhere else. I thought there could have been money somewhere else. All those things led to some great anxiety that if Utah was the place a lot of people like to portray it to be, he's not re-signing. But the opposite happened, and Mike Conley re-signed. So that's the first one. I thought it was, I think it's massive. I think it's great. Frankly, that's the move that makes the Jazz really, really good again. We're back in the elite level of the West. Are we one of the top four teams? Yeah, there's seven teams that are top four teams, but yes, we're one of the top four teams. So then the next move was we had to get off money. I really thought it was going to happen on draft night. I thought the Jazz would trade their first-round pick and Derek Favors and get off that pick. I thought it was going to be a Sacramento who I thought was going to lose Rashawn Holmes, so I thought everything wrong. We had to cut the money. Here's the way to look at it. A few years ago, on draft night, we traded the 14th pick for George Hill and got George Hill for a year, and then he left in free agency, and we used a first-round pick to acquire George Hill. We just did it backwards this time. We acquired Derek Favors in free agency, and then to get off the money, we had to give up a first-round pick. It's actually not, like, if you just think about that. So what we really did is we traded a first-round pick to get Derek Favors for a year, and then he left. There happened to be difference, but it's really the same deal. I liked the George Hill deal at the time. And I kind of, you know, the Favors deal, you have to decide whether it's the first round pick. To me, the Favors deal was always funky. Like, why was Derek at 29 years old coming to play 14 minutes a night? In his opening press conference, he said to us he thought he was playing 20. Like, he was like, you can't play 20. You got Rudy here. So there's always a funky element to it. It frankly, I think, got down to everyone throwing logic out the window and having one side that really loved a guy, the Jazz loving Derek, and Derek loving the Jazz. And after a not very good year where he wasn't very happy with his mom passing away and all just kind of crappy stuff in New Orleans, and he just, I think, wanted to get back to some place that settled him for a year, and the Jazz wanted a guy who wanted to be there. And frankly, I still wonder, both on the Favor signing and the Udoka Azubuike drafting by Dennis Lindsay, of whether or not Rudy's free agency impacted it. We'll never know. But you know what? We did it. I don't think it's not a model. You don't always want to be signing guys for first-round draft picks that you have to get out from under, but it's really not, like, unheard of. Some of the conversation I thought was, you know, made it sound a bit catastrophic. Frankly, it's not a deal. It's my point on the George Hill. It's a deal we've done numerous times before. We just did it in the background. And, you know, we weren't as good with Favors on the floor as we'd hoped, but he did do a lot of good things for us last year. He allowed us, he's a good enough player that he allowed us to play him against starters and allowed Rudy to play in three stints and play against backups and dominate with Mike Conley in that second unit. We'll get to that here in a little bit on the show, because I think that's important. Sure. Like, if we're being honest with evaluation and we're not wearing a purple Jazz shirt on our YouTube broadcast, New Orleans Jazz shirt, but a purple Jazz shirt. Hey, Dallas was able to dump Josh Richardson in a contract without giving up a first round draft pick. That would have been ideal. Favors doesn't seem, centers and Favors are not at a point where you can move them right now without having to pay a price. And so, you know, the Jazz did that. And what we'll see is that the Jazz, in some ways, replaced Derek Favors' $9 million with three different players who can play center and give us the defensive versatility we've been begging for. So let's continue. We'll keep walking through all this, give you all the different thoughts on it. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends over at Murdoch Chevy. located in Woods Cross, also in Logan, with a great Chevy lineup, the incredible Silverado, the awesome Colorado, the two trucks. The SUV lineup has the staples, the Tahoe and the Suburban that we all know well, but the rest of the SUV lineup is kind of the unsung hero. Like, if you think of Chevy like you think of the Jazz, by re-signing Mike Conley, we came back with our Corvette and Donovan, our Tahoe and our Suburban with Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley, and now we're fixing the edges of our contracts and doing our deal. It's kind of like the Chevy SUV lineup because it's really, really good, and maybe not everyone realizes how good. From the Traverse down to the Trax with the Blazer and the Trailblazer in between, it's absolutely fabulous. It's all at Woods Cross and in Logan. It's the Murdochs. It's Chevy. It's 80-plus years of combination in Utah. If you're going to stop by, feel free to email me first so we can set you up with a meeting before you go. It's all at Murdoch Chevy. Today's show is also brought to you by Stat Hero. Do you know that 85% of the people who play daily fantasy sports lose? If you actually think about it, it's not that surprising, because the game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention the experts, not to mention the algorithms, not to mention the people who've got computer programs. They have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance, but it's super fun. So I want to play. That's why our Stat Hero comes in. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and within reach of winning. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineup and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you the lineup ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in control. Stat Hero is the DFS the way it's meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now, you can get 3x back on your first play. That's giving you 300% match. That's unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. Thanks very much for tuning in. Glad to be back with you. Apologize. I had visions of grandeur of how often I was going to get podcasts out in Hawaii. I failed that. Hopefully you're relatively understanding to that fact that the visions of grandeur didn't happen. All right. So the Jazz in some ways replaced Derek Favors, the backup center, with three different guys that can play backup center. The first one, and it's probably not going to be his primary role, but in some ways it actually might be his best role, is Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay's played 9% of his minutes as center the last 2 years in San Antonio, and actually talking to people, they kind of think it might actually be his best position at this point in his career. You know, time will tell. We can look at, you know, some of the ways that San Antonio used him in various lineups and how they played him. Jakob Poeltl is a poor man's Rudy Gobert, and so he played some with Jakob Poeltl last year. And I think, you know, whereas LaMarcus Aldridge and other guys like that don't give him the defensive background that you had with Rudy Gay, that Rudy Gay got from Jakob Poeltl, and frankly, Jakob Poeltl doesn't give you that. But last year, when Rudy Gay was on the floor with Jakob Poeltl, the Spurs were in the 97th percentile defensively, and they were plus 10 overall, and their main lineup was plus 28, which is pretty darn good. Which lets you to believe he doesn't have to play center, okay? So he's still got enough versatility at 34 years old to do it. So the Jazz signed Rudy Gobert. I'll be honest, my first reaction was, holy, Ryan Smith is money. Like, wow. We are way over the cap. We are way over the tax. The tax is crazy prohibitive. Do we all understand this about the tax? It's a one-time check written like on July 1. Ryan Smith has to write like a $13 million check. You can be worth billions and not have $13 million sitting in the bank. Like, it is a crazy number that Ryan Smith has to write. The Jazz, I expected them to re-sign Mike, to move Faves, to probably not use their tax player mid-level exception, and then try to fill around the edges. They just went and spent their complete tax player mid-level exception and got a veteran 34-year-old who knows how to play, is established, and can do a lot of different things. That was a stunner to me. Just the unbelievable expenditure on that contract when you start putting in the luxury tax and everything else about it is amazing. So Rudy Gay's not a guy anymore at 34 years old who's going to go out and get you 30 and win you a ballgame. Right? Like, that's not his explosion. He's not Rudy Gay explosion of Memphis. Now, on the other thing, about 20 times last year, he gave you 15. Which is a pretty big deal to go give you 15 in never playing more than about 24, 25 minutes a night last year. So it's a three-year deal for a 34-year-old Rudy Gay. And certainly he is aging. But there, when he's good, and this is kind of what happens with aging players in the NBA. When you come into the league, your legs can give you 80 nights a year. And then eventually they give you 75, and then you give you 70, and then you give you 6, et cetera, down to probably at this point, Rudy Gay's playing, you know, 65 games a year for us. On 30 of the nights, he probably has his legs at their peak. And on those nights, he's still giving you 16, 17 points. Maybe that's too many nights, 30. So let's call it 25. Legs are his peak, are still back. Oh, this is a night where I feel good. And he's still giving you 15 points, 5-6 rebounds, rebounding being vital here, hitting a few threes for you, taking 5 or 6 a game and bearing 2 or 3, and the legs feel good. And then there's the middle pack, right, where the legs are okay at 30, and he's going to give you 10 points, 4 or 5 rebounds. He's really a good rebounder, an assist or two, and be solid. And then we're going to have, at 34 years old, we're going to have 20 nights a year where Rudy Gay goes out there and it's like, oh, dear God, the legs just aren't with me tonight. Because that's what happens at 34. We're going to have to learn that a little bit with Mike Conley, probably. That's what happens with age. It's kind of what we see with Joe, too, right? That's the reality of aging. But one, to get Rudy Gay is a big deal. This is partially because of his relationship with Mike Conley. This, again, goes to what Quinn Snyder's been building. Here's Rudy Gay, who's got 15 years in the league. He understands what's good, what's bad, what he wants to be a part of, what he doesn't want to be a part of. He looks at what the Jazz are building. He looks at what Quinn Snyder's coaching. He says, I'll be a part of that. Like, this is a big, these are big, like, there's a lot of choices for Rudy Gay. Now, at the full taxpayer mid-level, there probably weren't 10, but there were enough choices that if he wanted to avoid Utah, he certainly could have done it. And he's super interesting. I could do a 30-minute show on Rudy Gay. We probably will. Like, there's a lot of different things that Rudy Gay can do as a player. And so I think it's going to be super interesting to watch how Quinn Snyder uses him, of whether, like, he suddenly expands him out at 34 years old in to be doing new things that he hasn't done prior. This is a guy who has evolved as a career. Like, when he entered the league, he was a pure wing, one-on-one, somewhat selfish scorer. He was the guy who, whenever you traded him, your team got better somehow, right? Like Memphis did it. He then went and played like shooting guard. He moved to Toronto and started kind of playing some in Sacramento and playing some shooting guard at this long 6'8", then slid back to small forward. And then all of a sudden in the 17-18 year, as the league changed, he became a power forward. And his team has now been positive. This is the most exciting thing to me about Rudy Gay. If you break him down by position, he's been positive on the floor with his team, every position basically since 16-17, except for in the 17-18 season, he played 10% of his minutes as a small forward, and he was -6. And then that's the last real – then he kind of stopped playing small forward. Like, okay, like the game changed. He got a little older at 31 years old, and he slid down to the 4-5, and his team's been now plus 4.5 with him on the floor last year. They were better defensively when he was on the floor. +1 the year prior, +4.7 the year before that, +2.3, +3.2. Like Rudy Gay, the old Rudy Gay used to be a guy who put up big numbers and his team was always worse when he was on the floor. And then he evolved. And that's what happens with players in the league. They begin to understand it better. They get better at it. And he's done. But he's aging. Like we talked about, you're not going to get his legs every single night. He's not going to be perfect. But it's a nice piece, and it's a piece that can play 5, It's a piece that can play four. It's a piece that can probably play with the ball in his hands. We'll dig into a little bit of that more later in the week on whether Rudy Gay can play pick and roll. He will move the ball. He can shoot it. He's not a great corner three shooter. He's a better above the break shooter, which is probably why he needs to play a little more five, because your five's going to be pulled out. You also probably can get him to be a good corner three shooter just with time and understanding of that's it. The thing I'd say about Rudy Gay is when he first came in the league, he was spectacular, but maybe not helpful. Now he's far less spectacular, but probably more helpful. The biggest one on Rudy Gay is a stunner to me that Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith are willing to spend the money. Stunner. I just thought quietly that there's some point where the tax is too exorbitant, too big, and they would step away from that. And they didn't, which is surprising to me. And I think it's a statement of kind of, again, a veteran who's been in Memphis with Lionel Hollins and Dave Yeager, I think it was, in Sacramento when it wasn't great, in Toronto in good circumstance, been in San Antonio with Pop, understands what's good and what's bad in the league, and comes to Utah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Built Bar. Oh, the Grasshopper Cookie was available again, and I jumped all over it. And now the Rocky Road is here with marshmallow and almond, another special flavor from our friends at Built Bar. Of course, it's 100% chocolate. Of course, the macros are amazing. It's always the same ballpark. It's about 130 calories. It's 2.5 fat grams with 4 grams of sugar and 17 grams of protein. It's truly remarkable. The candy bar that tastes like a, what? The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar, and Rocky Road is available right now. Plus, right now, you're getting a free gift with a free Built travel cooler with every bar purchase. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 15% off. Get your Rocky Road, or split your flavors up. Get the mix box with 3 different flavors, or get 2 flavors of each. Orange, strawberry, coconut, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. It's all at Built Bar. Today's show is also brought to you by our good friends at betonline.ag. With a 50% welcome bonus, BetOnline gets you into the game. They're the best, most convenient, easiest way to do your play. It's all at betonline.ag. Hopefully you had some fun with the Olympics on it. You can bet Summer League basketball. Yes, you can. Jazz are a 4-point favorite tonight in their matchup against Phoenix. If you want to go on betonline.ag, you can play Summer League basketball. Have some fun with all that. Basketball futures are out for both the NBA players and awards. The Rookie of the Year, Cade Cunningham, is plus 250 with Jalen Green plus 425 and Evan Mobley plus 600. Regular season MVP, Luka Doncic, plus 450. Steph, plus 650. And Giannis, plus 700. And Embiid, plus 750. Durant, plus 750. And Embiid, plus 800. It's all at betonline.ag. Promo code LOCKEDON gets a 50% welcome bonus. Hassan Whiteside. All right. This, I'll admit, was a head scratcher until I walked entirely through it. And now it's an interesting play. And let's see how it works. So the book on Hassan Whiteside has always been very similar. And the book on Hassan Whiteside, wildly talented, but that's always been kind of what's been said about Hassan Whiteside. He was the 33rd pick. He went to, I think, 3 or 4 colleges. He was the 33rd pick of the draft. He ended up back in the Sacramento. He lasted like 16 games. He ends up in like the G League. This and then Miami brings him off the scrap heap 3 years later. And he turns out to actually be pretty good for Miami for about 5 years. They kind of find him as a gem, and he plays 33 minutes a night for him and does a lot of stuff. And then they have Bam Adebayo coming, so they limit his time, and they're better with Bam Adebayo because he turns out to be an all-star. And it's interesting on that one that Whiteside leaves that pretty tarnished. Like, the view of him in the league was that, like, Bam Adebayo was better than him, and they were playing him too much. And he kind of, I thought, left tarnished out of that, which is weird because Bam Adebayo is, like, the 4th best center in the NBA. So the fact that Bam Adebayo was better, to me, doesn't seem that strange. He goes to Portland and has an unbelievably good year in Portland. They played the drop big with Terry Stotts. He was terrific. on that year. He played. That's the style for him to play. They were plus three with him on the floor. Their defense was pretty good on a team that's never been was average on a team that's never been good defensively in Portland. And the team's defense when he was in Miami was in the 77th percentile, the 81st percentile, the 67th percentile, the 72nd percentile. So in all of his years in Miami, when he's on the floor, they're very good defensively. He goes to Portland, and they're in the 40th percentile defensively, which isn't great, but it's way better than they usually are. So he's now got this consistent reputation of being good defensively. He goes to Sacramento last year. It's a disaster. But that might be Sacramento. Their defense is in the 10th percentile, and suddenly Whiteside, you know, is now available at 31 years old with a ton of experience for the minimum. First thing is, that's where we are at centers at this point. We're getting a minimum center because we're paying that guy, Rudy Gobert, $40 million. So you get your backup center for $1 million. So the first thing on Whiteside is he's 7 feet tall. He's got a 7'7 wingspan. When he's played drop big, which we played traditionally, he's been outstanding. He's started a ton of games, which means the Jazz very well may be able to replicate him playing the 4 and 5 minute stints against other starters that allows Rudy to come back and play second team minutes. Hey, in the ideal world, we know that Udoka Azubuike is ready to play. You plug him in. You don't have to spend the 1.7 here and you spend it somewhere else. We're not there. We're not there. We don't know that Udoka Azubuike can play. If we find out he can, we'll deal with it. But playing, if Udoka Azubuike is able to play, he's probably only playing backups for a year or two, against backups for a year or two. And he doesn't have 324 career starts to his name. So that's the first thing. The other one on like Hassan Whiteside is like, let's just stop for a second. He averages 13 points and 11 rebounds a game. Like he is a beast rebounder. He's averaged three or four offensive rebounds a game in almost every year. Last year was a mess in Sacramento. And maybe something disastrously wrong has happened to Hassan Whiteside. But I'm going to go the other way and say, let me take the player. Let's take Sacramento. Let's say we signed Hassan Whiteside a year ago before the COVID year coming out of Portland. On that year, I'm getting a player who in Portland, they were plus three when he was on the floor. The defense was average when he was on the floor. And they were better defensively when he was on the floor than off. In Miami, he was even. They were in the 77th percentile when he was on the floor defensively. The year prior, they were minus. They really struggled offensively when he was on the floor, but their defense was in the 81st percentile. In the year prior to that, he was plus two with a 67th percentile defense. So I actually got a guy, you're going to tell me who I'm getting, who's incredibly talented, but like that's the word on him, whose team has been positive every year but one, whose defense, except for in the year in Portland, has been at least in the 75th percentile, who's 7 feet tall with a 7'7 wingspan, who averages 13 points and 11 rebounds. Now, watching him, there's two things that have driven me crazy over the years about Hassan Whiteside. One is if he takes that 14-15-foot push shot with 13 on the shot clock because he bailed out on a possession, it drives me crazy as a basketball purist who doesn't like the mid-range shot. And the second is he's always been one that, particularly early in his career, was so eager to go get block shots that I thought it hurt that you could pull him out for the block shot and score around it. Like, I would guess, and I can probably find this, that over the years, and we'll look at this over, you know, we'll do a deep dive on Whiteside, that over the years, when you looked at Whiteside, I would guess that the opponent's shooting accuracy at the rim was actually pretty good. And what I found out when I looked at that was actually relatively true early in his career when he averaged three or four block shots. But if you actually go back the last few years and you look at it, the opposite is true, except for last year. In Portland, He was in the 96th team when he was on the floor. They were in the 96th percentile of shooting at the rim. Same thing as last year in Miami. So this is a guy who actually for kind of got labeled by people like me as some, but, and if you actually look, he averaged 4 block shots a game in 2015-16, and then it went down to 2 and 1.7. And this is a case where the advanced metrics tell you much more than the regular metrics, because when he averaged more block shots, he was a less good defensive player or less impactful than he was when he averaged less block shots. Now, the other thing that also made sense to me on Whiteside, the more I looked at it, because I got to be honest, my first reaction is like, oh my gosh, what did we just do? Who else? So I would have loved Gorgui Dieng. He signed a 1-year, $4 million deal. We weren't doing that. Mike Muscala was a guy who was in a 2-year, $7 million deal. I was kind of interested in Alex Len, 2-year, $8 million deal. I was super interested in Robin Lopez, $5 million deal in Orlando. So there weren't really JaVale McGee, which I wasn't interested in, 1-year, $5 million deal in Phoenix. So it really came down to what I found was three players that signed for the minimum. Cody Zeller, 1.7 in Portland. Hassan Whiteside. And Dwayne Dedmon, who stayed in Miami for 1.7. So 1.7 is the minimum salary for a backup veteran center. Hassan Whiteside, Cody Zeller, it's all pretty good. Whiteside's the most talented of all of them, unquestionably. I'm a huge Cody Zeller fan for no reason that makes any sense other than Charlotte always played better when he's on the floor. Or at least that's how it felt. It always felt like the minute he got hurt, they fell apart. Good pick setter. The other one on Whiteside is if you dig in, which again, I did, and we'll do it as a longer show. The guy's run like the second most amount of pick and rolls with over the last like 4 years is Dwayne Wade. And so it certainly seems to me that Dwayne Wade had some sort of influence here that said the guy's all right. If Hassan Whiteside was a troublesome knucklehead, Dwayne Wade would know. And Dwayne Wade would have said, no, we're not doing that. Go do something else. So that last piece I do think matters. Frankly, the guy has played starter minutes most of his career. He started 324 games. He's played 20. I think he's going to be able to give us 14 minutes that are probably every bit, if not more impactful than Derek Favors. And the one other thing on Whiteside that I think is most interesting is his offensive rebounding percentage. He gets 14% of all available offensive rebounds. He gets 34% of all available defensive rebounds. In fact, he was number one in the league 2 years ago, as 3 years ago, last year in Miami, as the defensive rebounding percentage. Like, this is an elite, elite level rebounder. Favors was offensive rebounding was his most valuable aspect to us this last year. He was able to do a tremendous amount for us on the offensive glass with his offensive rebounding. And he was right about that 14.7 mark where Whiteside has been his entire career. So that I think is important because we're an offensive rebounding team. The last piece that we added was Eric Pascal for nothing. Basically, that was our pickup of the Warriors being a tax problem and needing to make a move. And this is the third way to play center. So Rudy Gay, Hassan Whiteside, play drop big. Pascal can play a little bit of each. He's a below average three-point shooter at 30%. He can switch 1 through 5. He's a little small at 6'8", 255. He's out of Villanova, so he's smart. He plays the game right. He played a lot of minutes already for a second-round draft pick. He's played about 2,300 minutes, I believe, in 2 years in Golden State, which is a lot and pretty good experience, and has figured out, you know, how to be on the floor in with some of the best players in the world, and named Steph Curry, and how to play with some guys like a Draymond Green and things like that. His usage was unusually high last year, which I would just keep an eye on. But this is really, frankly, a versatility play. Like, this is a guy who can do a bunch of different things. He played half his time as a power forward, half his time as a center last year, which is different than he did the year before. The year before, he played almost all of his time as a power forward and some of his time as a small forward, and they slid him down to play some of his time as a center. They were actually pretty good with him defensively as a center last year, They're in the 84th percentile defensively when he was on the floor as a center. I'm going to have to dig into why that is and what the combinations were and what happened there that allowed that to happen. At least that's an interesting one for us to look at. But I don't think he's an elite level athlete. So when you do put him in some other positions other than center, I think there's probably a little bit of a struggle, and that maybe that kind of playing with Draymond and he can move it and pass it around. They weren't great. They were minus 6.1 when he played center, but frankly, the Warriors were awful. If Steph Curry and Draymond Green were off the floor last year, and he played almost all of his minutes last year without Draymond Green or Steph Curry, right? Like Draymond Green, if Pascal was on the floor last year, then Draymond Green was off the floor. Like, I don't think they played any time together. And if you look at the Warriors last year, their plus minus as a group when we're not there, he played 147 minutes with Draymond and they were great. So maybe what we're going to find out, what we've never found out because of the Warriors' injuries and the way they're structured, is Pascal can actually play a bench role with good players. He played 117 possessions with Steph Curry and Draymond Green last year. They were plus 23. Now that's because of Steph Curry and Draymond Green, but that's also an interesting way to kind of take a look and see what he can do as a player. And all those, he's playing power forward rather than playing center. He's been asked, frankly, to be a player that he's not. He had a 90% usage rate in Golden State last year, which means he's on the floor trying to score. We want him to be on the floor and play with other players. And coming from Jay Wright's system at Villanova, he can do that. All right, let me sum it up. We remade the roster. We got our big dogs back together. We got more versatile. We have a different group with a little less, but with some continuity, which I like. There's enough new to it. I don't love continuity purely. Rudy Gay versus George Niang. George Niang was super good last year. Rudy Gay can do more. Mike Conley versus nothing. I'm taking Mike Conley. Hassan Whiteside versus Favors. Very different, but Whiteside actually comes probably with a higher skill level, length, size. We'll see. Pascal versus Morgan, Pascal, Butler and Forrest are your backup guards. And we didn't move Joe Ingles or Bojan Bogdanović or Jordan Clarkson or Royce O'Neal, which seem like real possibilities. Seems pretty strong. We'll dig into the specifics day by day as the week goes on, and we'll do live shows to have your comments and your thoughts. Thanks very much. Welcome. Glad to be back. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your patience last week. This is Locked On Jazz.